is charge. Our theme for this year is charge. Okay? Charge is a command that's given by infantry officers to tell the troops to attack the enemy. It is not a command given to say hold back or retreat or to get into a defensive position and try to hold steady. No, today our command is charge. We are in a time of great opportunity. We are in a time of where it's just clear that our skills are being called for. So at this time, we want to take our time and remember, or take this year and remember to charge forward. All right? Now, in beginning of that, we start off with our teaching theme for the month, which is love and liberty. And love and liberty in today's message will show up in many different ways. In many different ways, we will see how God's love for us has provided another place for us, or has provided strength for us. And then the freedom has allowed for us to move forward, or to stand back, or even just to hide. But in him, most of all, that freedom also gives us the grace to move on, whether there's mistakes made or whether or not we are unsure about the steps to take. So on this first fifth Sunday, our morning's theme is take advantage of your youth. Take advantage of your youth. Scripture says in Ecclesiastes 11, 7 through 10, light is sweet and it pleases the eye to see the sun. However many years anyone may live, let them enjoy them all. But let them remember the days of darkness, for there will be many. Everything to come is meaningless. You who are young, be happy while you are young, and let your hearts give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. So then banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body, for youth and vigor are meaningless. If you start just in the first two verses of this scripture, you see him talking about light, and you see him talking about how it pleases the eye. And when you start to look at youth and you start to look at where we are, you start to see a search for happiness. It seems that the word happy is the central part of what we're looking for every day. And as youth, it seems like we're always trying to find that state of happy. As a matter of fact, when one day riding in the car, I think coming back from a concert, my son decided to play a record for me. Or, oh, Lord. I mean a song. I got a deuce in the corner if I got a record player back there. Good gracious. Yeah, I'm old. But he played for me this song called Change by J. Cole. And I listened to the song and immediately I heard some familiar themes about kind of how I hear a lot of you sing. Talk about, you know, what their pursuit of happy is. Now, I changed a few words to protect the innocent. But just a brief piece out of this goes like this. Yeah, my chosen religion, Jesus, peace frozen from sinning. Doing dirt, hoping to God he knows my intentions. To see a million, for I see a casket. I got a baby on the way. Know he's going to be. I'm living fast like I'm in a drag race. How that cash tastes. When I was a senior, I was balling on my classmates. Man put three bullets in my car. One hit the gas tank. No, I got an angel because I'm supposed to have a halo. Right now, my lifestyle's destined for a federal facility for my ability to make them birds fly. Fiends want to get higher than a bird's eye view. And who am I to tell a man what to do? I just applied this economics. My business ain't got the suit and tie. Keep a pistol at my time at all times. Man want what's mine. I can oblige, dog. I can't oblige, dog. I work too hard. So reach for it. Get referred to God. I'm going hard. You see, if you go through and look at that song in its totality, it talks about a young man who is in a profession that's probably not going to allow for him to retire at an older age. He's at a time when he's about to have a child, and he's realizing that maybe this lifestyle isn't as what he thought it was going to be. He took a look at the means of what he thought was happy, the money, and it became the God in his life. But all of a sudden, when faced with the coming of something that's more precious than that, he started to take an assessment of really its worth and decided to determine that maybe it wasn't as worth, it wasn't as rich as he thought it was. Because it was something that could be taken away from him just by someone who decided to jack it, or for you older people, take it. I got my translator on this morning. See, happy is a pursuit in life. But it's not the only pursuit. It's only a measure of a good day. You see, that scripture talked about the light and seeing that light, and it was as if that was all that's there. But when you look at the totality of the day, there is both day and night. I think that was a part of the love part of the scripture, that God put the however in the scripture. He said, however. See, this was the love part. He was saying life has its good and bad days. Our bad will happen so that we can store up and notice the good. Some events of the past week and month and year have caused us some distress. The youth and I talked about some things where at the end of the day they felt a bit heavy, a bit down. And you know what? Those things are going to happen, but however is a warning not to get too wrapped up in just the happy. Your charge is to enjoy it all. To enjoy it all, but the good and the bad, the dark and the light. 1 Peter 1:5-7 says, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. You see, the bad times in our lives and the good times in our lives have purpose. If you take a look in the Genesis 41, this purpose I saw a little bit better when I took a look back at the king's vision. Remember, the king had a vision that there would be 7 good cows and 7 lean cows. And that the vision meant that for 7 years there was going to be plenty. And then for 7 years there was going to be famine. And Joseph told the king that for those 7 good years, I want you to store up a fifth of what you have, so that in the 7 lean years, it can be taken and eaten, and you will be able to provide for the people. When I read that, I was like, that's an interesting way of looking at good and bad times. So our first point this day is prepare a little in the good times to cover your lean times. Prepare a little in the good times to cover your lean times. You see, we all know how we get in the good times. When things are good and the money's flowing and, you know, everything is fine, it is like, whee! Let's go do this. Let's go do this. Let's go do this. You know, don't worry about tomorrow. I got this. That next paycheck's coming on the 15th. I'm ready to go. You don't plan 3 trips. Y'all don't shop 4 days out of the week. Ain't worried. Hey, I'll take that extra trip. Gas is low. You know, we stick in that. I ain't talking about you. You know, from a youth perspective, you know how those good times are. You're sitting in a class and it's kind of easy and you just kind of coasting through. You know, you don't really have to worry about any extra credit and all. You just kind of, yeah, this is good. This is butter. I like this. Working it all through. I ain't got to worry about anything. Until times tend to get a little bit hard. All of a sudden you got that, spend that extra time working and grades start to dip a little bit. And if you didn't take care of business during the easy times, then when the bad times showed up, you were kind of shot. You know, you were short. Because now you didn't have anything to build upon. Think about what that's saying a little bit. Our good times aren't just for partying. Our good times are preparation for what is to come. If in our good times, we not only celebrate what it is that we have good, but also store a little bit back, when the bad times come, they can do their job. You see, lean times, the purpose of lean times are to test what it is that we've learned along the way. The lean times consume what is there. Think about it. The 7 lean cows, all they did was consume what was there. They remained lean. But at the end of the day, what was the state of Egypt at the end? Was Egypt in a worse place? Or were they in a better place? Young people, you're going to have good times. And when you're in your good times, I want you to store them up. I want you to count the blessings that you've been given. I want you to really, really hold on to the things that you've learned. I want you to be strong. I want you to sit back and go, you know what? This is a new skill that I have now become a part of. I need to understand it. I want to make sure that it's something that's deep down in my heart and in my soul, you know, so that I can move with it. Because there will come a time when the light starts to dim. There will come a time when it gets to be a little bit hard. And when those times come, if you've stored up things correctly, if you put them back and maybe placed them up on the window to say, you know what, I am pretty strong. You know what, these are the things that I've been able to accomplish over the year or over the month or even over the day. Or here's some of the things that I'm just grateful for. When the hard times come up and people try to tear down what it is that you are, you can feed off of that. See, all of a sudden, that bad time has something to feed off of instead of feeding off of us. See, we end up in having hard times because we don't allow for the bad to feed off of the correct thing. When it's feeding off of the internal you, there's not enough meat there. It's like Pastor talked about when he was in that Kent stage. But see, he was tethered to the Father. So it had something to feed him daily. Our good, if we built ourselves up in that, and understand that that good's not just about you. That good is about something so much. Y'all know what I mean? It's coming from someone who knows what you're going to go through. It's like, I'm going to prepare you for what it is that you need. So that when the bad times come, I got you. So prepare a little in the good times. So when the bad kinds times come, they got something to feed on. Now, see, that was just the first two verses. Isn't that a little bit more exciting? All right. So let's hit verse 9. It says, you who are young, be happy while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Quick chant translation, live life to the fullest. That's all right. Live life to the fullest. As a youth, your world, the world is your oyster. You have time and strength to do whatever it is you want to do. That's like a freedom green light. Go. But in that, it's like, okay, wait a minute. So if I can do what I want to do, that means I can just do everything? All right, that's when we start getting into that. Well, all right, wait a minute now. 1 Corinthians 10:23 says, I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. No one should seek their own, but the good of others. Now, okay, we're talking about freedom here. And in this verse, God gives us freedom to do what we want. But, that divine conjunction, but. Okay. But, it does come with a cost. But understand what we mean by the cost that we're looking at here. This is not a judgment type of thing. See, I had to go back and really read this. You know, it's not a judgment type of thing. It's more of a choice type of a thing. See, it's based upon how you choose to determine what it is you're going to do. Whether you're going to do things strictly based upon what you want to do, or whether you're going to choose things based upon the love of who you have, or the love of the God that you have it in. It's not about a right or wrong. It's about, okay, where's my focus? Where do I lead? Let me explain. You see, for most of you as teens, most adults, we're going, you know, we're worried about the peer pressure. We're worried about what somebody else is going to lead them to do. I wish it was us. I ain't that young no more. You know, but you know the one person that we have to fear the most about leading us to do something probably that's not going to benefit us? It's ourselves. That's the one that we have to worry about the most. Satisfying the desires of the flesh. That delayed gratification. That spending all of your money on a new pair of Jordans and knowing you don't have prom money. That I stepped on somebody's toe. I ain't me too. But see, God gives us the freedom to make a choice. See, I ain't never had Jordan, so I ain't never had that experience. I had Gordons or something like that. It was just... I wrote 23 on the back of my... I'm just real. God gives us freedom to make the choices. And the choice to do for yourselves and for others. It's when we consider the latter that our freedom becomes more rounded. Our ambition becomes more focused. Our choice of what to do becomes more like an offering. And in offerings, we can make a choice of one or two. It can either be a Cain offering, or it can be an Abel offering. Genesis 4, 3 through 7 says, "Now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it.'" Second point is release your best to him. God wants our best. He wants us to give an offering based upon our best. If you take a look back at the scripture, God didn't honor Abel because he was a meat eater. And he wasn't a vegetarian. That had nothing to do with it. If you go back and look into it, there's nothing that said that he had a preference either way. If you even go back and look, there's not even any promises about what you get by giving a good offering. All it says is that they were giving an offering to the Lord. Right? They were giving an offering to the Lord. But see, God wants to know that he can get the fat of our talents. The best of what we offer him will be blessed. You see, in going into the offering, Cain and Abel had two separate mentalities. Cain went into it as to say, "All right, I got something to do. This is a check mark on my day." Not that he didn't love God. That wasn't in there. That is not in there. That is not what that says. I'm sure he did. But he kind of went into it like, "All right, I got to gather up some stuff for God and give our offering today. So, all right, let me go through them. Strawberries look all right. Some cabbage. You probably can take some greens. All right, put this basket together. There we go." And kind of set it down. But Abel came into it a little bit more thoughtfully. Abel came into it for the sincere purpose of just giving God his best. That was his motivation. That was it. Abel said, "I'm just going to God. So I'm going to grab up everything I possibly can. All the best of what I see, and I'm going to give it to him." I don't know if y'all get that. See, let me explain this. One of my favorite songs is this song called "I Am." And I know Ronnie back there said, "Please don't play that song again." Because every opportunity I get to do it, and one of the reasons why I play it, and I guess I do pray it as well, it's because it really talks about who it is that God is. Young people, sometimes it's hard to kind of figure out what God's purpose is in our life. And one day while I was sitting in the car getting ready to come here, listening to my favorite song, all of a sudden the hidden message in the song hit me. Now, maybe I'm just a little slow because it ain't hidden all that well. But it all of a sudden was just crystal clear as what it meant. See, this song talks about how God is our salvation. He's our source. He's our provision. He's our provider. He's the one that's there to heal us. He's the one that's there to be just everything to us. And all of a sudden in my mind it says, God is our source. I was like, what? God is my source. Well, God, doesn't that mean that, you know, I need to get all as much education as I have? Doesn't it mean I got to go to the right school? I got to learn all the right people? No. I am your source. And if I am your source, then if you release all that you have to me, then I can do what I need to do with it. If I need to multiply it, I'll multiply it. If I need to take something away, I'll take something away. What I do is I take the pressure off of your performance, and all I say is, just abide in me. And all of a sudden, all of the worries of the day just seem to just fade away. You see, all of your skills, all of your many skills are there for the purpose, and their purpose is to be given to God. And in the way that you give it to Him, allows for Him to see how much more He can give to you. If you do it like Cain did, just take the little bits or the pieces that you think are okay and hand it off, well, all He can give back to you is just that bit, because that's all you are receptive to receive. But if you are willing to release all of it, I don't care if it's not perfected. It doesn't have to be. I don't care if it looks a little rough around the edges, it's been wrinkled a bit and was because it was stuffed in the book bag, it's okay. If you're willing to give all of it, not because of what you're going to get back, not because you're hoping that, you know, something else is going to come of it, if you're willing to give all of it just because it's God, then He sees how receptive you are. Because when we give all we have, our arms are now open and our hands are ready to receive. Releasing, young people, is not a weak thing. It's a powerful thing. Because now you're ready to receive more of what God has in store for you. Amen? Let me see where I am first. Jesus, Matthew 19, Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. What that means is that you can release your all to Him without expectation or condition. Because the results are not depending on you, but lie in Him. So give Him all of you. Give Him the best of you. So that you can be more receptive to Him. Okay, so that's the first couple of verses. That's all right. It's a little bit brighter now. A little bit brighter. All right, so let's take us to the last verse. Okay, and the last 2 points are a part of the last one. Or the last 2 points are in this last piece. And that is to acknowledge and yield. Okay, acknowledge and yield. Verse 10 says, so then banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body, for youth and vigor are meaningless. And understand that word meaningless. It doesn't mean that it doesn't matter. It's actually translated into, it's a whisper. It's a vapor. It just... it happens in the scope. It's not an evaluation on you. It's just to let you know that it's a short time. Okay? Over the last week, it's been a little while then. I wrote on Facebook this post. And understand, well, never mind. America, I am inspired. The election of Donald Trump has caused such a stir that many are stressed, anxiety-ridden, and some ready to give up on this great experiment we call America. However, I have also seen more clearly the rising of the enemy. It is an enemy that desires to divide and conquer us. It is an enemy that is exploiting our poor, feasting off of our addictions and pains, and is magnifying our fears in order to distract us from what we have been already blessed to receive. But I believe in the God we serve, and I see this as a great opportunity to love, prosper, and grow. Over the weekend, I have seen first-time activists, women of various cultures and agendas, mothers and daughters with autism, fathers and sons in support, brave the rain, cold, crowds, bad media, good media, threats, and ignorance, just to make sure that their voices were heard. I have seen alliances formed and millennials move not because of a Pokemon or a celebrity, but because they cared and they desire change. I am excited today. This is an opportunity that only through God's help and guidance can we change the very face of the nation we love. Young people ages 1 to 103, it's time to take notice and march for freedom. It is time to use your talents and activate your mind and create the world that you have dreamed of living in. Older young people, it's time to let go of the ropes that we use to hold our kids back and instead supply them with the wisdom we have gathered from our own triumphs and failures. So many are unprepared. They are like soldiers fighting without proper armor or weapons for combat. We must supply them with the knowledge and the word that will fortify their minds, protect their souls, and give them strength to march on. I am excited today. My brave and God-fearing people, it is time to activate our gifts. It is time to get out of the line of waiting and advance against the walls of hatred and political stagnation. It is time. Can you see it? It is time. Will you claim it? It is time. Now, at the time, my mindset was very political. I come from a very long line of political activists. Some may be famous, some not. But it's in my nature. But as I prepared to come before you today, I learned that my words spoke much more. Young people, both young and old, I speak to you to your perspective on life. Where is it that you are focused? Matthew 6, verse 19 says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Acknowledging him means seeing his place and knowing that he is in control. It means that if he is leading, it means that if he is leading, what you're going to do for God, he's going to make sure that it's done. So it doesn't matter which side of the coin you're on. If you're for, then if your focus is on God, you know that God's will be done. If you're against, but your focus is on God, you know that God's will be done. What gets us tripped up is when our focus tends to shift upon ourselves. See, when there's a shift in belief, and he is no longer the source, that's when anger stands to pop up. When our treasures are not heaven bound, we get discouraged when someone or something threatens them. We become vulnerable, just like peace and freedom of the young man in the rap song. You see, his source was money. His source was fame. His source was drugs. And it wasn't until that source shifted that he was able to see the truth of what was really there. When our source is focused on the wrong thing and we don't acknowledge Christ, we tend to build fences around our things and try to hold them in. But when you acknowledge Christ and the power he has in our lives, when you acknowledge him as Master, Creator, Lord, Savior, Provider, the fences we build around our stuff, around our dreams, around our hopes, are no longer needed. Chapter 6 goes on to tell us to not worry. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food? And the body more important than clothes? Last part of that scripture says to banish anxiety. If we're going to banish anxiety, then it must require us to yield to God. Yield our security to him. If we're able to yield to God, then we're able to open up ourselves to allow for him to do what it is that he needs to do. If you allow us to yield to God, we can be greater. And it takes the pressure off of ourselves. What it means is that we don't have to look at our bodies and compare to other people. What it means that we don't have to look at our jobs and compare to what other people make. What it means that we don't have to look at our parenting style and wondering if our kids are better than somebody else's. What it means that we have a freedom to just yield ourselves to him and allow for him to move. Prepare in the good times. Release our talents. Acknowledge him in his power and yield to his will. If you're able to do those things within your year, you will see the first active thing you need to do to make this year the best that it can ever be. Somebody figured it out. P-R-A-Y. Pray. You see, prayer is not just something that you just throw away. Prayer is your connection to the one who loves you most. Prayer is your way of communicating what it is that you need. Prayer is what is there to help you see or to help you be placed in a position to receive what it is that God has for you to receive. Young people, I hope today that you're able to focus clearly upon him. And if you're having the trouble getting there, then my suggestion to you is to do just one thing to get it started, and that's to pray. And then watch how God makes everything and moves everything in your favor. Amen.